Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. In the spirit of Murrow, Jennings, Cronkite, here's another great moment in local news.
The Snapchat famous Los Angeles prostitute known as Pretty Ho on social media has been charged with sex trafficking.
That's a great moment in local news. Now, back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I want to thank Black Tux for being a part of this half. They provided the tux I wore at the Oscars. Oh. I think probably throw that up on the website.
Yeah, go to snappy.
blacktux.com.
What are you wearing tonight?
Get 20% off. Black Tux, man. Stamps.com. We love them. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. Get the 4-week trial. And, of course, TrueCar, TrueCar.com. Jimmy O. Yang back on the show.
Yeah, they call me Pretty Ho on Snapchat.
That, like I said, I saw when I, in the 80s, I saw like Dan Rather or something was anchoring the evening news. And they're like, now this story out of Dade County, the rap group 2 Live Crew has been jailed. Of course, famously known for the song Me So Horny. At a certain point, you have to look at the teleprompter and go like, I don't want to say that.
All right. Is that an option for Dan Rather?
It's just so awesome here. We go, yeah, me, so horny. It's like, good night and good luck. Me, so horny. How to American, that's the name of the book. And also, of course, Silicon Valley. We'll get into all that. Season 5 premieres this Sunday. People are waiting on Season 5, 10 o'clock on HBO. I love all the great product that's out there. I mean, it's so much. There's so much good on HBO and beyond.
HBO is still one of like the great networks, even with all the streamers. Because we were like the original streamers, I think. So you can, everybody copied us. I would like to think.
How does one? They do ratings, right? Like they get the ratings.
I think they do ratings, but I heard like a show like Girls never got great ratings, but they got all kinds of awards, and that got a lot of buzz, especially in the industry for HBO. So they kept it going for however long they wanted.
I'm assuming. Well, I always liken it to like Ferrari has a race team. Ferrari doesn't make money off their race team directly because it costs so much, millions and millions of dollars to do it. But then they sell a bunch of cars or they get a bunch of awards or their Ferrari.
Gives you leverage in other ways. Yeah.
Right. The book. Let's talk about the book, which is available now as we speak on Amazon. Bookmark us and click on through it. There are Amazon webpage there. How to American, an immigrant's guide to disappointing your parents. Tell us about it.
This is a book. I want to take some time off of stand-up because I got these ton of stories. Like I told you guys, I told my friends, like, working a strip club and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But doing stand-up, that was just such a format. You got to get a laugh every few seconds. And I couldn't really get into the real relatable, honest, truthful stories. So, and then I just started writing down stories. And then eventually I got a book, you know. So it's about when I first came to this country when I was 13 years old. To eventually quitting an internship at Smith Barney, much to my parents' disappointment, to do stand-up, and then ended up, you know, working a strip club for a while and got into some, like, really dangerous shit. And now here I am, disappointing my parents to be an actor.
Who has more higher, more demanding expectations on the parents? Would you say Asian culture or the Jews?
Ooh!
Be a photo finish for us.
There's both so much guilt. I think I gotta say the Asians.
I agree.
I gotta say the Asians.
As a Jew, I agree.
Do you think, and let's figure out the approach and the modalities, because like the Jews do a lot of, oh, if your nana was here to see this, she would be so disappointed.
Shame.
I feel like the Asians probably do a lot of shaming, but it's a little more precise and a little less sort of.
What's more direct? My dad would just tell you, you're not funny, I'm disappointed. Instead of saying like, your grandma would just be rolling in. You know, my grandma's still alive, by the way. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think the Jews, at least you guys, like in the entertainment industry, it's a thing. Whereas
Good
it's
point.
Not even a thing. Like my dad always told me, if you want to pursue your dreams, that's how you become homeless. Like artist
well
and
said.
Homeless, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? And he doesn't get it. He was sending me like careerbuilder.com emails for years. He's like, Jimmy, you're not that funny. You know, real people's hiring.
I wonder, now it's interesting. This would manifest itself in an eating disorder for the ladies with the dads that do this. But I don't feel like I hear a lot of eating disorders in the Asian community. On the other hand, I don't know. Maybe it's underreported.
I think we're skinny either way. So I think we tend to overeat. That's the only joy we have from all the guilt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So maybe if we weren't Asian, we'd all be like super fat. You know what I mean? Like that's the thing. There's a saying in Chinese that says people put food first over sex, over anything.
How about your dad and your mom now that you're on TV, you're doing stand-up, you're selling books, you're making money. Is there an emphasis? So I think what the Goyim has, the round-eyed devil we have, is we put a little emphasis on better to be making $100,000 doing your own thing than $300,000 working for the man.
Yeah.
We put an emphasis on that. Like we think that's cool. Now, not $1 million working for a man and $80,000 working for yourself, but there's a ratio where we value that. Is the Asian culture value the, hey, I'm doing my own thing, I'm blazing my own trail, or is it more get on that Schwinn from the 50s, get in your gray jumpsuit and get in line?
Get in the suit. My dad straight up told me he wishes I was a scientist still.
Still,
I think it's a money and prestige thing. And in the American world, the prestige comes from pursuing your dream, being on TV. There's prestige in that, right?
Self-made.
Right. Yeah. Right. In Chinese culture, that could almost be a negative. And being a scientist, being a lawyer, or maybe being even a finance person, that's like some prestigious stuff they can really brag to everybody else.
Is it because there's such an emphasis on education and thus such a pride on education? And then also when you take a look at like Matthew McConaughey, Chinese people go, well, that guy's a fucking idiot. Look up to him?
Whether or not he's famous is irrespective. He's dim.
We look at famous people in a weird way. Like obviously we look up to them, they're celebrities, but we don't see him as the God like we see here in America, right? It's like, okay, that's a good looking guy, but it's not like we're worshiping him.
As God is my witness, 3 days ago, I was talking to my son about him failing in math. And I just looked at him and I said, you're so lucky I'm not Asian, because I would fucking kill myself. I would kill myself. I would, but I don't care. But if I was Asian, I would kill myself. And we were laughing about it. But I was kind of serious. Like I just said, like, you're so lucky I'm lazy and I don't care about any of this stuff. But if I cared, I would definitely kill myself, because you're bringing a lot of shame to the family.
Yeah. Luckily, I was fairly good at math. But my dad from a young age told me, like, this is how you know if you're smart or not. If you do well in math. That was like his end all be. So if I wasn't, he straight up used to tell me that I was the smart one and my brother was the good looking one. So we had a complex where so I had the complex where I thought I was the ugly one and my brother thought he was the stupid one. And that's obviously not the case, as Gina is looking at me right now.
All googly eyed. Am I totally insane, or did your dad try to get into acting? Or did he get into acting?
Well, because he was like, it's so easy, you can do it, I can do it too.
Just to show you how there's no craft to it.
And I signed him up with my agent. Apparently, like, you know, old Chinese man is a hot commodity, because you don't see a lot of that. There's like two, right? So, and then he started going on auditions, and he booked like his first 4 out of 6 audition, which is unheard of. It took me like 100 auditions to book 4. Yeah, and then my aunt, he got on this really popular Chinese show. It was non-union, but it was really popular in China, like, you know, and the market is huge. And my aunt literally called the house from Shanghai, like, hey, Richard, you're such a good actor. Your son must have taken after you. And I'm like, motherfucker, this whole thing has backfired.
Yeah, it's not. Oh, we're looking at him now.
Look at him.
He's yelling cheater.
Yeah, that's a 76 gas station commercial that he did.
I experienced this shaming just last night, which was I was playing in this like old guy pickup basketball league. The dads at the high school play. And anyway, I brought my son, 11-year-old Sonny, who plays a lot of basketball and likes playing basketball. And then we did this thing where it's like we're short, so Sonny was going to play, and we're going to do a 4-on-4. And then this one, which I find troubling and flawed, which is, I go, well, how are we going to pick the teams up? Like, who's picking the teams up? Who's on what team?
Right.
And they go, look, first four to drain the three are on the same team. It's like, oh, okay, so all the best skilled players will be on one team, and the guys who can't hit the rim from 26 feet, they'll all be on the other team. I just, how could this go? You guys draining threes nonstop and us missing threes nonstop. It's a little flawed, but okay. Because it should be the first two guys who make the three, pick the two worst guys or pick the teams or whatever it is.
Even it out.
But they don't want to hurt people's feelings.
Talk about humiliation. Sonny drains the three long before I even get a I missed twice. He drains his three, and now he's on the team. He's on the winner's
team. He's on the coach skill
team. He's on the winner's team. So this is that thing where you hope your dad doesn't book the show. I hope my son doesn't make the three before.
And the whole point of me signing him up with my agent, it's like he can see how grueling and terrible these auditions are.
Dehumanizing. Right.
But he was just like, oh my God, this is so easy. No wonder you are on a TV show. And I'm like, shh.
Yeah, so the that's a weird. I'm trying to think of that culture of just the constant focus on shame and education, and you got to be a scientist and all that. It does. I mean, but it helps the bottom line in the culture. I don't know that it leads to happiness or togetherness
or anything.
But Asians, they don't really count Jews. I don't know why, but if you took Asians and Jews, then it's whitey, then it's black, Hispanic, then it's black, whatever the pecking order is. Whoever goes the most nuts on shame and studying and math tests and stuff, they seem to make the most cash.
Well, I think the American family, there's an acceptance that after the kid turns 18, there's nothing he can do. Right.
Yeah.
Because technically there isn't. He's probably stronger than you by then. He can go out and rent his own apartment. But the only thing that an Asian or Jewish parent knows is guilt. That shaming and
weaponized
guilt will stay with you. And that's your only weapon to control your kid at the end, right? So I think a lot of it comes from, you know, they don't want to be lonely at the end. I wrote in my book, one of the main thing for me growing up here, like basically 13 years in Hong Kong and then another whatever how many years here in America, it's like teetering the line between Asian culture and American culture, and like which one do I pick, right? Because the American spirit is you live, you pursue your dreams and you find your own independence and the pursuit of happiness. In China or in a lot of Asian culture is be dependent, respect your parents, and never disobey them, and do what you're told. So it's complete opposites. So how do I go about not disrespecting my father and still pursuing my dreams?
Sign him up with your agent.
Yeah,
exactly.
Family business.
He's right, the family business.
All right, should we? Yes,
speaking
go ahead.
Of which, I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt, but one of the Oscar-nominated documentaries this year was Abacus. Did you see it?
I saw it and I wanted to see it just because it was called Abacus, but I didn't see it.
Oh, okay. It's about the only bank charged in the wake of the financial scandal. The only bank charged with any crime was this tiny family-owned Chinese bank in New York called Abacus. They served the five branches. They serviced almost exclusively Chinese clients because like immigrants, like people who came over from China wanted like some familiarity, right, with their banking. And so they went there, and the bank is run by this older gentleman and his four daughters. And it's a really interesting extrapolation of what you were talking about, where like the family sort of services on the way up. You know what I mean? These daughters are taking this family business, but they're also fighting against the government. It's an interesting story. I just wonder if you're familiar with it.
Huh.
The story, I mean, the theme was the government's leaving the too big to fail guys alone and picking on the little guy.
See, we did something.
Yeah, the only bank prosecuted was this tiny bank who didn't fail.
It's racism is what it is.
Yeah. A little suspect. Yeah. A little suspect.
What did they ever give any explanation as to why?
There was some corruption in the middle management, but it was people who were taking advantage of clients without the owners knowing, and the feds found out and decided to prosecute, which is, you know, slap on the wrist,
stealing
type
paper
stuff
clips, post-it notes,
Wells Fargo stuff.
All right, we got March Gradness coming up. Jimmy's going to sit in and chime in. We're down to 16. We're going to 8. What are we going?
Yeah, we're still doing the Sweet 16 round right now.
I'll tell you what these guys should be wearing, the black tux when they come pick you up on that first date in their mom's minivan. Wedding or special event coming up, theblacktux.com. High quality rental suits and tuxedos delivered to your door. I wore mine to the Oscars. Thank you very much. Create your look or choose from tons of stylists, selected outfits, and all online, usually retail for about $1,200, and you can get these things for just $95. Free home try-on. You can see, feel the fit, the quality. Months before your event arrives, 14 days before the event. If anything's less than perfect, they send a free replacement right away. They show up in a box. It's all nicely folded. It's very well presented. I got mine. It all fit like a glove and worked out perfectly. By the way, socks as well. You just drop it back in the mail for free shipping both ways. So why go anywhere else? The Black Tux. Dawson.
For $20 off your purchase, visit theblacktux.com/Adam. That's theblacktux.com/Adam for $20 off your purchase. The Black Tux. Premium rental suits and tuxedos delivered.
All right. Should we get into March Gradness?
Yeah, revealing some of the pictures I never saw.
Okay. Oh. Welcome back to another round of the March Gradness Sweet 16. All week long, we're asking you, the listeners, to decide who will move on to the Elite Eight and possibly date the lovely Gina Grad. Hopefully no brackets have been busted yet, except possibly the clasp on Gina's bra. Today, we take a look back at four more of our first round winners and let Gina get her first glimpse of the man or woman of her dreams.
Ooh.
Up first, representing the Dude You Gay Conference, Julie and Mike.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Oh, Julie's so cute.
Yeah, so Julie's a lesbian.
Yes, and a lovely, great style. I think we kind of almost a little bit look alike. Mike, nice looking guy. Looks a little Semitic. I like that.
He's a pretty man.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like Gary, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but my guy looks like Gary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if we eliminate Julie, we have no more fallopian tubing in this final 16 or in the final eight, right? The grade eight.
Correct.
Yeah, right. This is all fan voting.
So,
but maybe it's new chapter time.
I was going to say.
Maybe yeah. We should keep Julie in. My vote would be for Julie in, just to the fact that there'd be one female who makes the final eight.
Is this like the Bachelor where you have to keep the black guy or girl around
for one episode?
A couple
right.
of just episodes or else you're
right.
racist?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Julie has since written us.
Oh, no. Oh, God. Oh, God.
Just to clarify, saying, quote, I am not a lesbian.
Oh.
Just looking to have nice gals dinner with Gina.
I love that.
And my bowling average does not start with two.
Oh.
What okay, three? That's okay.
What? Perfect games every time?
300? That's amazing.
It's like every time. Greg, what's going on?
I'm going to have a good time with Julie.
All right. Jimmy O, do you have any thoughts, or does Mike have a comment?
I think Julie's good, but it's platonic, you know.
Yeah.
So you're not going to get no action on the date.
That's true.
Well, you never know. I'm quite persuasive.
That's true.
Mike's ready to fuck. Like, yeah. Mike's ready. So
he's
that's
DTF.
You know, he looks like he could either be in a like in a guitarist in a rock band or just your generic alcoholic.
But
or something.
Is he the kind of guy that's going to go in too quick and too aggressive and just be a total turnoff? Because his eyes are smoldering, and I like that. But sometimes they go in tongue first, and I hate that.
I feel mm-hmm. like he'll be gentle. He'll be nice.
Oh,
you have
okay.
a good
he's
experience,
a gentle
lover. But he'll just never talk to you afterwards. He's one of those guys.
I'm used to that. That's cool.
All right,
no.
So Mike, Jimmy's vote for Mike. What do you say, Brian?
I said keep Julie around. I'll just get her on the phone for
She's
the next
cool.
round. Yeah.
Okay.
I got Julie. Gina, it's your decision.
Well, this is the listener's decision, correct? These are the fan. This is fan voting. You're going to go online to Facebook, right? And you, the fan, are going to cast your vote for me.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
All right.
In Mike's favor, still no correction on the possibly gay joke from Mike. Coincidence? Either way, we want you, the listener, to go to Facebook.com/Adam Carolla and vote for your favorite. Now, our second matchup for the day comes with a caution wet floor sign. That's right. It's Peter and Kanoa.
Oh my God!
From the actually attractive
Yo.
Conference.
Whoa, this is a powerhouse matchup.
Wow.
I mean, look, his name's Kanoa. He's standing amongst palm fronds and is shirtless. I don't know how we, I don't know how we go any other way, but it's not up to me.
Peter, though, I wouldn't sleep on Peter. I'd sleep on him, but I wouldn't right. sleep in him. Yeah, Peter's pretty devastating in the looks department as well. I mean, he's all bundled up, but
he likes a good scarf.
Yeah,
he's a contrast in climate.
Yeah,
but, hot and cold.
But they're both. This is win-win. I feel like Keona, I guess, Quinoa. Will prevail. Quinoa will prevail because his shirt's off. But we'll let the people go to Facebook and figure it out.
I want to know what the temperature is of the time they took these pictures.
In the studio? Very warm.
Because if it's summertime and the dude got a beanie and a matching scarf, that's not your man.
That's a good point. But to that point, if it's winter and Kanoa's like, who cares? That's super hot.
That's hot. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, only one of these stud muffins gets a chance for the big dance. And Gina is counting on you to make the right choice. So choose handsomely. Head to Facebook.com/Adam Carolla and vote right now. Tomorrow, the next round of March Gradness.
Powerful.
Very powerful.
Ooh.
Powerful. All right, let's see. Let me tell you about Stamps.com. You prep the news, and I'll tell you about Stamps.com, man, these days. You can get everything you need on demand. Like our show and like stamps on Stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, whatever you need. Goes right off your computer, right off your printer. Then you just hand it to your mail carrier, or they'll pick it up. And you click and print, all comes out. You're done. Don't have to go to the post office. Don't have to leave the house. We use it here. We mail out tons of stuff. So we use it here all day, every day. And right now, go to stamps.com. I got a special 4-week trial plus $55 free postage and the digital scale, which goes up to 80 pounds. It's pretty amazing. And it tells you exactly how much postage you need to send anything anywhere. So go to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click the microphone, top of the homepage, type in Adam. Let's do it. It's 2018, people. Stamps.com. Enter Adam. All right, quick break. Back with the news.
Carolla Digital delivers the best podcasts ever made with some of the best people around.
Hey, you guys, it's Joe Coy, and I got my podcast here at Carolla Digital called The Coy Pond. The Coy Pond. I get all my friends to come on. And then they tell me a story, and then I make fun of them. And it's a blast. So tune in. Just go to adamcarolla.com and download every episode.
The Coy Pond with Joe Coy. Subscribe on iTunes. Listen at podcastone.com, the Podcast One app, and at adamcarolla.com.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
A lot going on in Austin, of course, South by Southwest wrapping up, but a really, really scary stuff. There was a fourth bomb explosion in the southwest part of the city on Sunday night, injuring two people. Austin Police Chief Brian Manley advised residents in the immediate area to remain inside while police search the area for other explosives. Now, prior to Sunday's explosion, there have been three other bombings in Austin that have killed two people, seriously wounded a third. In all three incidents, packages containing do-it-yourself bombs exploded. And again, this was the tail end of South by Southwest. Spring break is happening. News outlets say that none of the explosions happened near the downtown area. But what the hell is going on?
Horrible goddamn parenting. And it is the only cure for any of this stuff. Because us sitting around going, well, we have to have more rules about shopping on the internet. Why was this guy able to buy a gallon of kerosene and fertilizer on the internet? It's like, do you really think that's ever... All that is you chasing something. It's always chasing it. Well, why aren't there more surveillance cameras up? How come this guy wasn't properly monitored or whatever it is? Like, all that is after the fact stuff. That's chasing problems. When you have good kids, good families, good environments, it's very rare that you make a decision to shoot up a school or blow up somebody you don't know or fly an airplane into a building or whatever it is when you come from a good base.
Yeah.
And we've decided that that's like neither here nor there. Like it's all about, we need more surveillance or we need more boots on the ground or we need more legislation. Why was he able to buy this stuff? Like, it's an insane it's an insane thought. Like, why?
The wrong direction.
It's this notion of like, we're going to fix this because somebody's going to pass a law that says trash cans need to have clear covers. Right. And it's like, all right, well, then he's going to load up his car and just run over a bunch of people in front of the club. Like, well, then we should have legislation that puts barriers in front of clubs. It's like, okay, well, then once people are walking to their cars from the club without the barriers, then they'll just run the people like, they'll just find a way. Right. They'll just find a way. They'll find a way, like Lizzie Borden found a way many, many years ago. We need to focus on the kids, the family, the parents, because my kids and their friends, I told them, I was playing pickup basketball, and there's like another kid who wanted to play, and my son was just like, well, we're playing to 15. And my son just said to the other kid after the first game, he just went, when we get to 7, I'll just come out and you can come in. So that's like halfway. And I thought, everyone I grew up with would have been, well, first off, no way, dude, we're playing this game. Like, I'll fight you, but we're going to play the game. But it wouldn't have been 7 because 7 is not quite half, right. But 7.5 doesn't exist. So that definitely would have been 8, 9.
Yeah, 9. Right.
Or 9. They would have started at 10 and worked their way. And the other kid was as level-headed, and I just went, well, these are two kids that are never going to plant a bomb. They're never going to shoot up a school. They're never going to do anything. Like, look, we can figure out alarm systems and locks and double locks and super security.
You're taking your shoes off at the airport.
Or we can have good kids and have them turn into good grown-ups, and then you never have to lock your door because
solve all problems.
Unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I don't know the thing about shooting up schools and blowing up hipsters. I don't know there's anything we're going to do about it other than what is going on. I want to know, whenever we find this guy, where's your family? Where's your dad? Where's your mom? How were you raised? What went on that turned you into this? And the answer is 4% will be some mental defect that there's nothing you can do about. That's a small percentage. The rest of them are just kids that got abused and didn't get looked after.
And there's this new sort of movement happening, you know, the walk out, you know, for the schools, you know, kids protesting about, you know, gun control and all these things. Now they're piggybacking on that with the walk up. And kids are saying instead, to your point, it's not about just walking out so you can get out of school for 17 minutes and, you know, whatever. It's walk up to that kid that clearly has some problems at home. Walk up to that kid that's sitting by himself at lunch and start making more of
uncomfortable situation.
Yes, but the kids, in a way, trying to take sort of responsibility and a little bit of ownership and saying the kids that you make fun of, the kids that you think it's funny to chastise, they're the ones coming in and blowing up the school. So instead of chastising them, why don't we try to be a little more decent humans and see if we can curb some of this stuff
I'm
that way.
All for the walk up.
Yeah.
You should not walk the walk up, out, but the walk up.
Walk up and also offer him sexual favors.
Sure.
If these kids got laid, they'll
better.
Be a lot more even-minded.
Yeah.
Gina, I missed if you said it, but I read that are all the victims black?
They were up to a point, I believe. I could be wrong, but I think the last one was not.
Okay.
Because they were wondering if they were targeting black families.
Because I read the last one was a sophisticated tripwire bomb. So I don't know if this is...
Chris, I don't know if you have that information, but that's why I didn't include that. Yeah, that's why I didn't include that.
Yeah, no, the first three were black, and then Rachel Dolezal was... injured. So there is no theme here. There's no theme. Drop your racist theme.
You're always looking for something, aren't you?
What? Yeah. So when did these start taking place?
Last week or half.
At the tail
I was
end
there
of,
last
of,
week.
Yeah, at the tail end of South by Southwest.
And I had not heard about it, but when we were talking about the self-driving cars, which have the LIDAR, which is like radar, like on the roof, and a million cameras, they're not driven by satellites. They drive themselves, and they have to see everything around them all the time so as not to run over anybody. We discussed, like, hey, with thousands of these things circling the city, how could you plant a bomb and not be on film?
Right.
It'd literally be impossible to not be seen. Yeah. And then wouldn't you know? Now, it's not going to stop the first one from being planted, although it may prevent it if somebody decides they don't want to get caught. Right. But it's certainly the other ones had a tripwire.
That's what I was saying. Yeah.
Two white men injured. Other explosions were black and Hispanic injuries. Oh, Chris will keep looking into it. So was it just, must have just been coincidence? Well, look, if you lit off a bomb in L.A., definitely have some Mexicans dead. I wouldn't make a theme out of it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just wondering whether those connections.
But that was part of the theory, and now that seems more random.
Gotcha.
As far as we know. Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin.
Were these things, where were they? Were they outside of venues?
They were not in the downtown area where all the events were going.
Just
sort of in the suburbs.
So random and weird, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And I couldn't find the tape. I don't know why. I don't know if it just got buried. But Brian Manley, the chief, went on apparently and spoke specifically to whoever's doing this, saying, "Please just call, even anonymously, and tell us why you're doing it." Now, of course, is that going to happen? No. But they're desperate.
Latest one was in a wealthy neighborhood. So says Max Pata.
Yeah. Very, very weird.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin was elected to a fourth term in office over the weekend. The landslide victory, the largest in Russia's presidential history, came as no surprise since Putin was expected to easily defeat his 7 challengers.
He must have run a hell of a campaign.
Yeah, man. He put a lot of money behind that. Russia's Central Election Committee says Putin received more than 76% of the vote. As with past Russian elections, there were reports of ballot stuffing and employers pressuring workers to vote for Putin.
Oh, wow.
The victory will keep Putin in office for another 6 years. It will also make him the longest ruling leader of Russia since Soviet dictator Joseph Stalin.
God, the whole perestroika thing, I remember now 35 years ago. Yeah. I was like, oh, there's a new world order, and they're going to be a democracy, and it's they love their children, too, and it's a whole new chapter in our civilization. Yeah. It's like, nope.
Best friends.
Not so much.
Rocky took down the Russia, and
that's right. They start cheering for him.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, let's switch gears a little bit, because this is something that I think you can get behind, Adam. CNN reports on a world where you drive your supercar right into your apartment. You had something similar at your old house, and leave it parked right there. For uber-rich car collectors, this is a reality at the new Porsche Design Tower in Sunny Isle Beach, Miami. Mm. So this is the luxury tower. It has introduced the concept of sky garages, high-rise parking spaces located either adjacent to the living space or one story below. Automobiles are transported to the condos, which are priced between $15,000 and $25,000 per square meter via dedicated car elevators. Mm. Here's a quick clip from CNN explaining how this works.
Grand per square meter. It's a little bigger than a yard, and that'd be 9. So like 10. It's a square. Would a square meter be 10 square feet?
Okay.
Yep. 10.7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Horrible student.
I'm so glad you guys didn't look at me.
Yeah, your dad.
We gave up on you. You're an actor.
Yeah, such shame. So it's over, and it's how many thousand?
$15,000 to $25,000 per square meter.
Okay, so if they're 10 and a half or almost 11 per square foot, and then it's 15 to 20.
25.
$175,000 or so?
Well, it means per square foot, you're dealing with at least 15,000. I'm going to work this one out, because if it's 1,500. So about 1,500, let's just say, per square foot. So what I'm saying is if you want to buy a really nice house near the beach somewhere that's totally cool on the west side, it's going to be 1,200 a square foot. Okay. So I'm just trying to do kind of a math, though it's even more than that.
Right.
The most expensive real estate we have around here. But go ahead. Sorry.
Okay. Well, here's a clip from CNN explaining more on exactly how this works.
Designed by a subsidiary of the German car giant, Porsche. Elevators whisk you and your car up to any apartment in 75 seconds, where they're showcased like pieces of art. And for the penthouse, a garage big enough for the most extravagant car collection.
Mm.
They're much larger than
that. That's cool.
We're going to have a Fast and Furious situation. Yeah.
Oh,
Dubai situation.
Let's go visit the guy next door.
you don't ever have to get out of your car. You can just watch TV from your car.
Yeah.
Go to sleep in your car.
This is fancy idiocracy.
I put a car in my house, and the new house I'm working on, I have a place for a car as a sort of display, because I believe to these guys, and to guys who really are into it, they're art. And mm-hmm. they're displaying their art like they'd be displaying yep. a sculpture that was 11 foot long and 6 foot wide. Like they had a big sculpture in your house. Like that's to them. That's their sculpture. That's their conversation piece. That's their whatever. So happy to see this. As chronicled in a movie with Alan Alda. A movie with Alan Alda, okay. where with Ben Stiller.
Okay.
And he was a rich tycoon who lived in a Manhattan.
Oh, is that terrible Tower Heist?
Yes.
With Eddie Murphy?
Terrible yeah. Tower Heist with Eddie Murphy.
With Eddie Murphy, yeah.
And oh, I think of Alan Arkin. Yeah, Alan Alda, you're right.
He had a yep. Ferrari Lusso. A 63 or 64 Ferrari Lusso that he claims was Steve McQueen's Lusso, and that he bought it for $10 million. That is a story. And why it's a terrible story is that car was red, and Steve McQueen did sell a Ferrari Lusso, and he sold it a year or so earlier than the movie came out, and he sold it for like $3.3 million or something like that. But it wasn't $10 million, and it was at a big auction, and it was highly... It was in all the motoring trades and stuff like that. So it'd be stupid to change the price. Why not? It already happened. Just say it was 3.3.
That's more impressive than 3.5 million to the average movie viewer.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, $3.5 million car. That's super impressive.
Now I got to figure out all my numbers. So go ahead, Max. Did Alan Alda say $10 million? I think he did. Did he? And then when did Steve McQueen sell? I know it was Pebble Beach, and I think it was like 2.7 or 3.3 or something like that. Here we go.
What's this?
Agent Denham, that is a 1963 Ferrari 250 GT Lusso, owned and raced by the coolest cat who ever lived, Steve McQueen. This was his baby, and now it's my baby.
You got Steve McQueen's car parked in your living room? And here I thought you were an ass.
I paid $1 million for it 10 years ago. I wouldn't sell it for 10 times that.
All right.
He would not sell it for 10 times.
He didn't pay $1 million for it 10 years ago. And by the way, it's not owned and raced. Lusso means luxury. Mm-hmm. That's not a race car. It's just a Ferrari luxury car. So it's not owned and raced. It was just owned. But he did own a Lusso. Steve McQueen did sell it. It was a few years before this. Mm-hmm. It wasn't 10 years before this. And it wasn't $1 million. Why not just do what the story is?
They should have updated. I'm wondering if this is one of those scripts that was sitting around for a long time and maybe
inflation.
$1 million was the price it may be sold for.
Would you like to introduce me to your Negro friend?
Maybe not that long.
Get that drop.
There's a colored.
Well, I also think the car community doesn't get like up in arms and complain on Reddit and be like, this is not accurate. Whereas the tech community for our show, we have to go through extensive research.
Yep.
Right. But for the car people, you guys have a life. Not to say that my people don't.
Less
but
of a life.
It's like the same thing in Drive, you know, like the slicks. Remember that? Cranston was like, we got to change it because the slicks or something. But
that was me being
the
angry.
The treads.
Yes. I was angry at Drive, yes.
Yeah.
Still a lot of tread on the tire. Right, slicks. Sold for 2.3. What year did the movie come out? And then what year did sell at Christie's? You'll like that auction house, Brian. Mm-hmm. 2.3 at Christie's. Did it hammer for 2.3 or is that all in? All these things you can find out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Never should have broken.
I'll find out, but it was in 2011 when it sold.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Then it sold after the movie? What year was that movie?
The movie feels like it was after that.
And I remember it being after that because I was angry. All right.
Okay.
Find out what year the movie's from. Thank you. Continue.
2011.
Oh.
Ooh.
November of 2011.
Well, then when did the thing sell? All right.
Well, it was sold in Monterey, Christie's Monterey, 2011. So I'll find out the date.
Well, that's August. Go ahead.
Well, freak accident. I don't know if you heard about this. Very sad and weird. Fox News reports that a Cirque du Soleil aerialist named Yann Arnaud, who had 15 years experience, died after falling to the stage during a high-flying performance Saturday in Florida. Video of the Tampa incident, which I did not pull, showed Arnaud hovering approximately 15 feet above the audience before swinging back over the stage and falling onto his side. Colleagues quickly rushed to his aid, but witnesses said he was unresponsive when medical personnel rushed to attend to him. This isn't the first time that a Cirque performer has been killed on the job. Back in October 2013, veteran acrobat Sarah Guillard-Guillot fell 94 feet to her death during the conclusion of her performance, which marked the first onstage fatality in Cirque's history.
It's got to happen. I mean, it can't not happen. You're doing that at that height. The whole point is...
Defying
death. Apparently, death gets pissed at being defied.
Yeah, if you said, look, I'm going to put this harness on and hook up these carabiners with some redundancy in the nylon rope department,
you'll be okay.
And these grips are just going to hoist me straight up and then lower me back down like Fart Man, nobody's going to pay to see that. The whole idea is, oh, my God, he's holding on with one hand. He's going to let his other hand. Right. I mean, so it's by nature, you're almost asking for this to happen.
Morbid question. If you're in the audience and during this death, do you get or ask for your money back?
Oh, Brian.
Serious question. You paid $100.
I think you've gotten your money's worth.
Well, how far really into the show is it? You know what I mean?
If it's in the big finale.
I think it's like the same as the movie rules. First 15 minutes, you walk out, you get your money back.
But like, what about like when your flight is delayed for mechanical issues? Like, you made the flight, you got to San Francisco, but you're still, getting some reparations. You're getting, 30 bucks off your next flight.
I really think in this case, every ticket has a disclaimer on the back of it. That says that you
enter into the contract knowing that
risk,
death could be
imminent,
thrust in your face.
Really sad. Well, Business Insider reports that Stephen Hawking submitted his final scientific paper just a week and a half before he died, and it lays the theoretical groundwork for discovering a parallel universe. Hawking, who died recently at 76 years old, was co-author to a mathematical paper that seeks proof of the multiverse theory, which posits the existence of many universes other than our own. The paper was called A Smooth Exit from Eternal Inflation, and it had its latest revisions approved March 4th, just 10 days before he died. According to the Sunday Times, the paper sets out the mathematics necessary for a deep space probe to collect evidence that might prove that another universe exists.
You know, I know there's all this stuff going around. Now they're seeing pictures of flying objects that are taken from cockpit recorders and things like that. Kind of hard to argue with stuff. Like, the pictures of Sasquatch, those are pretty rough.
Loch Ness Monster.
And Loch Ness and all the stuff we grew up with. But the newer stuff by Super Soper naval aviators are going, what is that?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. And there's no contrail or anything. Like, doesn't seem to be any propulsion system and stuff. Little bit hard to argue with harder to argue with. On the other hand, it is weird how we're all wired, because you're sitting around, you're watching that, and it's like, this is actual footage from an F-18 cockpit, and these guys are talking back and forth, and they're like, they're expert aviators, and this object is moving faster and in different directions with no visible propulsion system or something like that. And you're like, look at it, and you go, oh my God, there's aliens. And then you walk into the next room and you're like, who left this Dr. Pepper out? It's almost full. It's almost full. Sonny, this, not yours. Okay. Who?
All right.
If you want a Dr. Pepper, then you can drink a Dr. Pepper, but don't take one sip and leave it out. It goes flat. Jesus Christ, what's going on? Yeah, go right back to it. Yep. You go from, oh my God, there are others that could be living amongst us to, what the fuck with the soda? And it just shows us, like, that's how we're all wired, right?
Your thinking's ever gone from more universal to more granular in 1 second.
Yeah, but just to bring it back around, when one of our best guests, Neil deGrasse Tyson, was on, and we talked to him about this, he said mathematically it would be harder to prove that there isn't a multiverse than that there is.
What about Mercury retrograde?
Is that that's all bullshit.
That's when you take your index finger and you shove it under your sack before you blow your load.
Yep,
you belch it up later. Drew told me about that.
That's called Mercury retrograde in the medical community.
I can't remember the. Retrograde ejaculation. That's right.
That's much better than.
They invented it for avid campers.
This is my test question for every date. I don't want to ask as a question. I'm just like.
And frequent flyer.
So I've been experiencing a Mercury retrograde. Most people would laugh, be like, oh, come on, and then we're like, I'm just kidding. But then some people are like, oh, yeah, me too. That's when I leave.
Think it was a chick thing, but a lot of dudes talking about, oh, my phone doesn't work, Mercury must be in retrograde.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of up there with, like, are you a Pisces? Because yeah. I knew
it's
it.
The, like, it's the new, are you a Pisces?
But they blame all their life's problem into, yeah, I just got fired from my job because of Mercury retrograde. Yeah. I'm like, no, because you're an asshole probably.
Yeah, you're terrible at your job.
My mom had a biorhythm wheel.
And see, this thing takes on many forms.
She would consult the biorhythm wheel, and I'd be like, hey, can I get a ride to Teddy Lewis's house in Van Nuys? Hold on. No, it's an extra critical day, so I shouldn't be driving. It's like it was a magic eight ball for lazy fucks, and it was basically like I don't really want to leave the house. Yeah. Oh, seems like a bad idea. All right, well there you go. Hey, can I have some pot roast? Oh no,
it's gonna be
unsalted peanut butter on 14 grain bread.
Yeah, blame the universe, son. It ain't my fault.
There's always been some stupid thing for people. Oh, you got the biorhythm wheel.
Why is that in there?
How does the bio? Someone sent it to us. How does that even work? You put in like the dates and
it looks like a birth control packet.
Can we look up today? Is today extra critical day?
Oh, by the way, I found out that extra critical days weren't even bad.
Oh, sounds bad.
It sounds bad.
Sounds worse than it is.
Dawson's trying to.
I'll let Dawson figure out the science of that first, and I'll tell you about True Car. This is not extra critical. Day. It's True Car. MSRP, you might know what it stands for, but what does it really mean? Invoice, list price, dealer price. Confusing, right? Introducing True Price from True Car. Know exactly what you'll pay, including fees and accessories, before you get to the dealership. You know your True Car price is a great price because True Car shows you exactly what other people paid for the exact same car. You do what our own Chris Maxpata did. You get yourself a Prius with 200 miles on it, so it's used, but it's essentially new. Certified dealers set their True Price competitively so they can win your business. So they have to compete amongst each other. Find out exactly what everyone paid for the exact same car, apples to apples, and go pick up your new ride. So when you're ready to buy new or you're ready to buy used, enjoy a more confident car buying experience with True Car. Some features not available in all states. Max Pat, did you find out what an extra critical day is?
Well, this one's a little broken, but it's missing a piece, so I'm trying to eyeball it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so we're figuring that out right now.
Well, might type Google in biorhythm wheel or something, figure out. But whatever my mom's wheel was, there wasn't a setting where it was, hey, we're going to put up a basketball hoop and get you a Labrador puppy. We didn't have that day. We just had the, oh, boy.
Better not.
Yeah, better not cook today. No, no. Oops, a no hugging zone going on here. You want to ride
praise.
Where? No, 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 no. No praise. No getting in the car. No delousing. No, 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 no. Yeah. Yeah, that's all it was.
No, not sleeping in the utility porch.
So we're finding here that critical days are open to mishaps and accidents.
Uh-oh.
So extra critical days, that's
even worse.
Extra you don't want to take the car out.
We went through this once, and for some reason, somebody told me the extra critical, which I always cited as the reason why I couldn't get a ride to Teddy Lewis's house, because it would be an extra critical day. But there's accidents and mishaps. So I'm lucky to be alive.
Yeah. She was doing you a favor. Yeah.
I could be dead right now if we'd chosen to get in the VW Square back and take the surface streets to Teddy's house in Van Nuys, 4 miles away. I could be roadkill.
Yeah. Good job.
The wheel knows.
What? Are there any days where it's okay for me to get a ride to Teddy's house?
It's like a pork chop day.
It appears that most days are critical days.
I love this wheel.
It's like an awesome wheel.
It's like weighted dice.
I got to get one of these wheels because I'll just sit there.
I'll love it again.
So then I'll go, hey, can we walk to Starbucks and get a donut tonight? Hold on. Do you have the safe dialing? We got any safe dialing noise? No. And I'll just be like,
to the right.
No, sorry. Extra critical. Hey, basketball all-star game's coming up this Saturday. Think you could come out to the high school? No. I'm sorry. There's just an icon of a guy beating off and then napping. So
I'm just going to...
Yeah, well, here's one. Yeah, he's not talking to his kids. He's beating off and napping. So, sorry. The wheel is spoken.
Okay.
It's about a rhythm wheel. It's just science. Your dad would love it because it's science. You know what I mean?
Stephen Hawking would just be like rolling over in his grave. Listen, there's all this like Mercury retrograde, extra critical. All this work doesn't matter. The only thing people know about the cosmics is Mercury retrograde.
You think he'd be rolling over in his grave saying, we can roll over now.
Or even talk. All right, Matt, let's bring it home, baby girl.
Please, one more. Thank you so much. Right. Just want to let you guys know, public service, national fast food chain Sonic introducing pickle-flavored slushies to their summer menu. It's going to be sweet and tangy pickle juice flavor. You can even add it to, it's a pickle juice-flavored syrup, and you can add it on your shakes and your ice creams and your burgers. Ugh. I'm Gina Grad. That's the news.
You're not funny. I'm disappointed.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
We have biorhythm results for today. Hold on one sec.
Oh, God.
Couple things. Whoever would have thought that the two Sonic guys, the ambiguously gay duo who sit in that car and have date night every single night at the Sonics talking about corn dogs and slushies and whatnot, would have outlasted Jared from Subway. Wow. Like, I did not see those guys standing the test of time.
That is a real tortoise in the hair situation.
Yeah, it's like when a guy in a rock band marries a stripper at 22 years later, still going strong. Like, you never would have thought that those two dudes would have outlasted Jared from Subway. And here they are. All right, what's today in the biorhythm category, Max Spada?
All right, intellectually, it's low.
Okay, I feel that.
Makes sense.
Your intuition's very high today.
Okay. I knew you were going to say that.
Yeah. I had a feeling.
Yeah.
Follow your gut.
Yeah.
Your emotional level's low. It's at negative 44%.
Shut up.
Wow.
What's that mean?
Zero is like baseline.
Is that good?
Can't be.
I don't know if it's good.
I did start this morning by yelling at a coworker over the phone.
Yeah, that sounds...
Would that be 44?
In line with 44.
But that's just zero for you, right, Adam?
That's a baseline for me.
Yeah.
Your physical attributes are minus 13, so it's almost baseline.
Okay.
Like
good.
As in shave.
Your spiritual is at minus 88%.
Ooh. Is there anything that's in the plus column?
Your awareness is at plus 26.
Okay.
Your aesthetic... Plus
42,
and as I said, your intuition plus 97.
Yeah, all right.
97. So you're hot, and you follow your gut.
All right. Now, so my mom got hold of this information. This would be a no driving day.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
This is how
it really
that
exists
would
to confirm what you already do or do not want to do.
Correct.
Exactly. All right. Let me tell you guys about Madison Capitol Theater. That's coming up April 6th, the one-man show. I'll be there in Madison. Things going to sell out, so come on out and say hi. Santa Ana Esports Arena live podcast. We don't do too many of those, but we'll do one April 21st. And then Aladdin Theater in Portland. That's coming up June 9th, one-man show. We're filming that for a special, so come on out.
Be
a part of history. And the Moore Theater, September 13th, live pod before we hit it on the cruise. Hope it's not a critical day before we get on that boat.
We have to consult that wheel.
Yeah.
We're not going anywhere.
Your buoyancy is at 100.
It's a critical day.
Is it? You've checked it? Damn it, we're doomed. And Jimmy O. Yang, How to American is the name of the book. Available now on Amazon. Of course, Silicon Valley Season 5 premieres this Sunday, March 25th, 10 p.m. on HBO. And we have his Twitter, at Funny Asian Dude. And coming up later this summer, Crazy Rich Asians, a movie. Look out for that. Jimmy, you come back and plug that, yes?
Yes, sir.
So, until next time, Matt McCroll for Jimmy O. Yang, Gina Grad, Mal Brian Sand. Mahalo.
Nobody told me it was White Boy Day at the laundromat. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow Ace on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Give him a thumbs up on Facebook. Then pick up your phone and dial 888-634-1744. Seventh caller will win a prize. Nope. Just leave us a voicemail. Subscribe to Take an E for a weekly dose of inspiration and motivation. Click the link at adamcarolla.com. The Ace Man, Capitol Theater, Madison, Wisconsin, April 6th. Sell it out, folks. April 21st, we're in Santa Ana with the ACS podcast. Tickets and info on all the live podcasts, mandatory events, books, movies, and more. Go to adamcarolla.com.